Good morning. We're continuing our series about becoming more like Jesus. A man received a promotion to the position of vice president of the company that he worked for. However, the promotion went to his head, and for weeks on end, he bragged to anyone and to everyone that he was now a vice president. But his bragging came to an abrupt halt when his wife, who was so embarrassed by his behaviour, said, "Listen, Bob, it's not that big a deal. These days, everyone's a vice president. Why, they even have a vice president of peas down at the local supermarket." Well, somewhat deflated, Bob rang the local supermarket to find out if this was true. "Can I speak to the vice president of peas, please?" he asked, to which the reply came, "Of fresh or frozen." Humility is not a popular trait in the modern world. It's not touted in the talk shows, or celebrated in valedictory speeches, or listed with core values. And if you go into the massive self-help section of a Waterstones bookshop, you won't find any books on humility. But the Bible has a different perspective. It might surprise you to hear this today, that we are going to look at a passage that tells us what we ought to be wearing when we do church. Now, some of you might be a little startled and maybe a little worried about whether you've come today dressed biblically. But I want to put you all at ease. We have a nice, comfortable, casual church atmosphere, and I'm glad that we do. Everyone here is dressed just fine, in a physical sense. But the passage that was read to us does tell us how we're to be dressed in a spiritual sense. So let me set the context for you. The Apostle Peter had been writing to his brothers and sisters in Christ who were suffering persecution and hardship for their faith in Jesus. And much of his letter has been occupied with telling them about how to be faithful in their stand for Jesus in a hostile world. And though there has been much in the letter that deals with some hard subjects, there's also a great deal in it that has been very encouraging. And one of the things that has been encouraging has been the important way that the church, the body of Christ, supports us and sustains us in times of trial. And at the beginning of chapter 5, Peter urges that the elders of the churches do their job faithfully. I love it because it reminds us that the role of leadership in the church is vital to the health and well-being of the church as a whole. But so often when times are hard, it's tempting to back away from church life and to begin to think that there are more urgent things to think about than our involvement in our church family. But the Bible teaches us that the exact opposite is true. Church life is always important to followers of Jesus, but never so much so as when we're being called to live faithfully for Jesus in hostile times. And so vital to the health and well-being of that church life is the role that the leaders play in it. They're the shepherds that God has appointed to lead his people and teach them and equip them and protect them as they seek to stand faithful for the Lord Jesus. But Peter then turns his attention to the church family as a whole. And here's where we find out what it is that all of us ought to be wearing when we come into the household of God. Peter says in verse 5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Did you notice the main thing that he tells us in these words? It's that we're to be clothed with humility. That's what we're to wear when we do church. It's not just important in times of trial and difficulty, but always. Humility is the proper attire for church life. What exactly, though, do we mean by humility? I believe we should be careful not to think of it as humiliation. To humiliate someone would be to shame them or belittle them, to rob them of their human dignity and make them less in everyone's eyes. To humiliate would be something that we would do to someone else. But to practice humility is different. It's something that we do to ourselves, to humble ourselves in the sight of others. To humble ourselves means that we cease trying to elevate ourselves above each other and willingly accept the position of service toward one another. And I would suggest to you this morning that the greatest picture of humility is our Lord Jesus Christ. During his Last Supper with his disciples, he, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, willingly rose from the table, tied around himself the apron of service, and washed the feet of his disciples. He who would have been absolutely within his rights to expect to be served by his followers willingly and generously accepted the lower position of a servant and served his followers. That's humility. It's what each of us in the household of faith are to be clothed with toward one another. And it's particularly important that we are clothed with humility during a time of hostility toward our faith. The world is watching us. The village of Nettybridge is watching us. It's watching how we respond. It's watching how we treat each other. When they see us, they need to see the kind of humility exhibited in us that was manifest in Jesus. That's one way that people will know that we are his. So, how do we become clothed in humility? Well, one way that Peter urges us to be clothed is by taking a humble position toward one another. We read that in verse 5. It's interesting to me that right after urging the elders of the church to do their job faithfully, Peter begins by saying, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." And while Peter would, I'm sure, want all younger people to show due respect and regard to those who are older and more mature in the faith, I believe he's particularly meaning to say that the position of the spiritual leaders in the church should be respected. But more than that, Peter says, all of you. And all of us are to take the humble position toward each other. Peter writes, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And when Peter wrote that we are to be clothed with humility, he used a word that basically describes the act of putting on a garment that needs to be tied. You might think of the idea of tying on the garment of humility and being properly bound with it in the spirit of a servant. And many biblical scholars believe that when Peter said this, what he had in his mind was that wonderful image, which he would remember personally, of the Lord Jesus rising from the table and wrapping himself in the garment of a servant to wash his feet. Those who know me personally will know that in recent years I've had to learn to cook. And when I do, I usually wear an apron. It's a manly looking apron, I might add. It looks an awful lot like one that you would see a grocer or a butcher wear. And I've often wondered, what would happen if I put my apron on and went down to the Ballyfirth farm shop to pick up a few things and wearing my apron? I'm supposing that people would maybe walk up to me and ask me for some Cairngorm sausages, or they might say there's a spill over on the floor there you need to deal with. I would have the garment of service tied on to myself, and it would be easy to think maybe that I worked there. Well, maybe we don't have to wear an actual physical apron, but we are to tie on the attitude of service toward one another. Listen to the words of Paul in his letter to the Philippians. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And so it's essential that we be clothed in humility toward one another, for God to grant his blessing upon us as a church family. And so I say to you this morning, let's be clothed in humility in God's house, by first of all making sure that we are clothed in humility toward each other. Let's come to church having tied on the apron of humble service toward one another, just as Jesus would do for us. But Peter goes on to quote the Old Testament proverb about how God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's a law, if you like, in God's moral universe. Those who exalt themselves in pride will be humbled, and those who humble themselves out of a reverence toward God will be exalted. And this leads us to another way that we're to be clothed in humility, and that's by submitting ourselves to the sovereign will of God. Peter writes, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I read a great story the other day that illustrates this. It was about a young minister who had been called to be the minister of his very first church. He had graduated a few years previously from theological college, and since he had graduated with honours, he thought that he was pretty hot stuff. And he thought that he was about to give the people the greatest sermon they had ever heard, with no notes. And so he strode up to the pulpit with a sense of self-importance and read the passage of scripture he was going to preach from. And then his mind went blank. He completely forgot what he was going to say. So he read the scripture again, hoping that it would come back to him. But it didn't. He read it a third time, but everything was just a complete blank. And with great embarrassment, he told everyone, "I'm sorry, but I can't speak to you this morning." And down he went from the pulpit with a bowed head and a broken step. And when the service was over, an old man in the church came to him and said, "Laddie, if you had gone up the way you came down, you might have come down the way you went up." And that's what Peter means when he says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you." In God's household, those who exalt themselves are humbled, and those who humble themselves are exalted. It's like the law of gravity in two directions. What goes up must come down, and what goes down becomes lifted up. When we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, we make it easier for him to lift us up with the other hand. And then Peter gives us one more way that we're to be clothed with humility. And at first it doesn't seem to be a command about humility, but it truly is. It's that we display humility by casting our every care upon the God who cares for us. Verse 7. He urges us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time, telling us, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And the word that Peter uses for care can be translated anxieties or anxious thoughts. It's the things that we worry about. If our loving Heavenly Father is there caring very deeply for us himself and inviting us to cast our cares on him, then a refusal to do so is, in reality, an act of pride. If we're to be truly humble, then we will, in true humility of spirit, trust God to be what he promises to be for us. And the word that Peter uses for casting is an interesting one. It basically means to throw something on to something else. It was used in the Bible when we're told that the disciples threw their own clothes on the donkey for our Lord to ride into Jerusalem. And what a picture that is. God invites us to bring our concerns to him and throw them onto him. And if that's where they belong, then that's where they belong. And the way Peter says this doesn't simply mean that we throw our cares on our Father in a general sort of once for all kind of way, but that we bring each one to him and cast them upon him every time. Why do we do that? Well, listen again from Philippians, and Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We throw each anxious thought upon him through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We effectively say, "Father, I have a concern. I'm worried about this. Here it is. I give it to you. I ask that you do what's needed. It's off me and it's on to you. And I thank you in advance for your unending love and care for me." And when we do that, we're being truly humble. So that's how we come properly dressed in the household of God. That's how we become more like Jesus. We come clothed with humility. When it comes to each other, we make sure that we tie on that humble apron of service toward one another. When it comes to God, we make sure that we humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And when it comes to the trials of life, we humble ourselves by bringing each and every concern where it should go, upon the loving care of our Heavenly Father. Humility can only survive in the presence of God. When God goes, humility goes. In fact, you might say that humility follows God like a shadow. I want to finish with a bit of personal poignancy. I was not meant to be preaching today. I was meant to be preaching 3 weeks ago. And I had a diary issue, and Ed Metcalf kindly agreed to swap. So in fact, Ed was meant to be speaking today on humility, and I was meant to be speaking on the subject that Ed had 3 weeks ago about living holy lives. I told you that I have a manly apron for cooking. I've got a manly bracelet. But what people don't know is what's engraved inside that bracelet. It contains one of my favourite Bible verses from Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly." May God help us to be properly dressed in the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we look to Jesus, and we can see him in our mind's eyes, just putting on that apron, that garment, and going round and humbly and generously washing his followers' feet. And as we relate to each other, help us to tie on that garment. And as we relate to you, Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you. And if we've got worries and concerns, give us the courage and humility to throw them onto you, for you care for us. Change our lives, Lord. Make us more like Jesus. That is our desire today. And we would ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.